5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
This is a Real Ghost Stories Online Extra.
Hi, yeah. So these stories always start out with, I'm a skeptic. People want you to believe that they're not the type of person who usually believes in the supernatural, that their world is one of, like, gears and logic and mathematics, a deist universe. But that's not really true for me. And I'm not going to pretend it is for the sake of making the unbelievable or, some might say, unnatural events of my youth and what happened in that house more palatable. When it comes right down to it, I have to be honest, tell you that I am gifted. I've had many interactions with those who've passed over and other spirits. I inherited it from my mom and she from my grandmother and so on. But when I was young, it terrified me. And while sympathetic, my mother was unwilling to say much about it. She sort of shuns that portion of our lives. My father is a fundamentalist minister, and while we obviously believed in the spirit world, as most Christians do, it was not something you were to interact with or acknowledge if you could help it. To do so was dangerously close to witchcraft. So I mention that for two reasons. The first is that I want you to understand that what I experienced in that house was so far outside the norm of most spirits I encounter that it's left this indelible impression of malevolence and simmering anger on me all these years later. The second is I want you to understand that I had already had encounters with spirits and was firmly taught not to acknowledge what was happening or to interact. This is important because it was the lack of interaction that tended to anger the entity, and it led to the escalation of the events that transpired, and what I feel was ultimately to blame for the frustration that caused it to lash out and do bodily harm on the subsequent inhabitants. When I talk about ghosts or spirits or whatever, it's just the remnants of someone that's passed or some animalistic benign force that doesn't really care, but this was not one of those. So I guess I'm putting this off because it isn't my favorite thing to relive, but it makes it more real somehow to tell the story. So I was there for like almost four years in that house. It was a four-bedroom home. My parents moved us to when we were, we had just started taking on foster kids. And my parents' room was on the main level, and us kids were on the second floor. I say as kids, but like I was a little older. We lived there till like till I started high or finished high school. I want to say things were normal at first, but to be honest, there was always this whisper to that place. When we moved in, the whole house was very empty. But the only decoration left in it was this candle and a crucifix and a portrait of the Sacred Heart of Christ, all within one room. I remember because I thought it was weird because I was, you know, we were raised Protestant and it was very Catholic. But anyway, the room was large, but the ceiling was like low and sloped. And it was maybe 7 or 8 feet high in the middle of the room. And the candle and all that was at the far end in the only window. The door to the room was directly off the bathroom, but it was small. It was only about 5 feet tall. And there was a stair down. So it all combined to be just a little claustrophobic in there. Even though area-wise it was the second biggest room in the house, but this was the room that it lived in. I can't say why I know, except that you could feel it in there. I would get up to go to the bathroom at night, and I would feel it behind the door. We lived in Upper Michigan, and my dad was insistent about the need for us to circulate the air in there during the winter, and the door wouldn't stay open, so he took the door off in the winter. And there were so many nights I would go to the bathroom after waiting as long as I could stand, sitting there on the cold porcelain with this like wide open darkness just next to me. And I would just sit there and try and be as fast as I could and just listen, listening for it. Because I listened there in the dark, you could hear it pace. It wanted to be noticed. Like, that was a weird thing. It would wait to be noticed. When we first moved in, it was just like subtle things, whispered voices when you were the only one in the house, footsteps in the darkness, this like insistent hand between your shoulders as you walk down the stairs. And you walk down the stairs, your back would be to the room. But I was taught to ignore these things. But the more we ignored it, the louder it got. After just a few weeks in the house, there started being this knocking at night. And not like knocking on the walls, like knocking on our doors somewhere in the middle of the night, usually like 1:30, somewhere between like 1:30 and 3:30. It was always like dead middle of the night. There would be a knock on our bedroom doors. My mother was the first to say something, and I had heard it a few times, but I'd opened the door to find nothing, and I just thought it was my older brother playing a trick on me, because his room was right next to mine. But my mother thought, she told us that whoever was doing the knocking in the middle of the night better fess up. She thought it was us. So at that time, we were between foster kids, so it was just me and my brother. And we said it wasn't us, and he said he had heard it once, too, but he usually slept with headphones in. So she estimated when it was, and it was the same time there was, like, that knocking on my door. So she told my brother to take his headphones out for a few nights, and a night or two later it happened again. And I opened my door, and I heard my mother open hers downstairs, and my brother opened his just a second later. And, like, I could hear her downstairs, you know? Like, the knocking happened to all three of our doors at the same time. So we did this one more time, and all of us opened our doors at the same time, and then my mother told us just not to open our doors for the knocking anymore. If we heard a knock, we were just supposed to ask who was there, and if no one answered, we were supposed to ignore it. And we did. I mean, it didn't stop. There were like three clear knocks in the middle of the night, just like, and like it ranged from maybe once or twice a week to once or twice a month. It was frequent enough though that when we had foster kids, they asked, and we had to tell any foster kids we took in not to open their doors at night. We just told them to just go back to sleep. And like, I realize now how absurd that is. Like, it's kind of crazy, but it became background noise. It was just a peculiarity we weren't supposed to talk about. So we didn't. I started sleeping with headphones on like my brother, and we stopped answering the knocking. But that's when the voices started after the knocking, and it would mimic people. It would, like, I noticed it more than most. We lived there until, like I said, like until I graduated high school, and we took in young foster kids. So my parents, we weren't wealthy, so my parents both worked, and I spent a good bit of my time watching the younger kids. And anyone who's like a parent or watches young kids will tell you, you get used to listening. Quiet kids often mean bad news. So I was frequently the only one in the house with the kids, but it liked to mimic. It would usually mimic my mom, or at least to me, but sometimes it would mimic the foster kids too. Like I would hear my name from downstairs or upstairs or the next room. And then I would realize my mother wasn't around. Like she was at work. I remember once I heard her yell from downstairs, like just after it was like, you know, it gets dark early up there up in Michigan. So, I mean, it wasn't too late. It was maybe like 6, but it was after nightfall. And it was just me and Trey, one of our foster kids, in the house. I came out of my room and he opened his bedroom door. I knew our mother wasn't home, but I heard the yell again. It was her calling my name, but I just felt really weird about it. So I called her cell phone, and she picked up. She was still at work. So she was mad at me for calling her since it wasn't an emergency, but I was freaked out. And I just told Trey to go back to playing in his room. But that night I told my mom what happened when she got home. And she told me it had been happening to her as well. So like a month earlier, my brother and I had walked into the house from the side door and my mother jumped up and screamed. She wouldn't say why at the time. She just said she was startled. But when I told her about what happened, she told me that the reason was she had just been talking to my brother and I from the bottom of the stairs, just like a minute earlier. She knew we were in our rooms because she had had a conversation with us, except we hadn't been home all day. So this started happening more and more till it was just a given and we didn't discuss it. And it was just normal. Just sometimes you would hear people who weren't home or things that weren't there. Once I was making dinner in the kitchen and the window above our sink looked out over the backyard, and I heard Trey upstairs. And so I yelled up to him about dinner. And he answered he was coming, and like he went back to playing in his room and he was like yelling at his video games. But I walked back to the kitchen and I looked out the window and he was outside in the backyard on the trampoline. But I could still hear him upstairs. He was talking. I was watching him through the window, but I was listening to his voice coming from his room. But we just ignored it and pray. And that's what we were told to do. And it didn't work. So about 3 years into living there, I mean, this happened. It just happened. It didn't ever stop. But like 3 years into living there, we were forced to deal with it. My mother was at work, and me and my mother and my brother and the foster kid that we had at the time, we were all in the kitchen. And that room was right above the kitchen. The layout, it was ran the whole length of the kitchen. So we were having this conversation when suddenly there was this stomping above us. Because I don't like want anyone to think that it was footsteps. It was stomping, like a very large man. Like not even like a kid couldn't do this. It was like a very large man stomping insistently on the floor as he walked back and forth. So we were like freaked out, but after 30 seconds of listening to it, walking like the whole length of the room and back and not stopping, me and my brother, we ran to the stairs. And we could hear it as we went up, coming from the room. Like we knew where it was. We could hear it in the room. But the second we stepped on the upper floor, up on the second floor, it stopped. And we searched the room. We searched the whole floor. There was nothing. And then we came back down to the kitchen. And as soon as we got back to the kitchen, it started again, like almost rattling the house, just like boom, boom, boom. And like, so we ran upstairs, and as soon as we reached the top floor again, it stopped. this time, like, I told him to wait at the bottom of the stairs. And then I ran around outside the house checking on the roof just to see if there was anything up there. I couldn't understand how something could make that sound from the roof, but we checked anyway. So there was nothing. So I came back inside to tell him. And as soon as I reached him, it started again. So this time we're like both right at the bottom of the stairs, these straight stairs. And we can hear it up there. So we ran up the stairs and it stopped. And we did this like two more times. We'd go back down to the bottom of the stairs and we'd stand there for a second and it would start stomping. Then we'd run up to the top of the stairs. And as soon as we hit the second floor, nothing. So like by this time we're sort of freaking out. So we went back to the kitchen and then there were like three more loud booms and then it just trailed off the footsteps and then silence. And by this time, like, our foster kid was crying and my mother was all shaken up and like she just couldn't ignore it anymore. So she took me and my brother aside and we all shared like some of the additional small things that were happening, like just things being moved and missing and like nightmares. And so that hand that always seemed to push my brother and I like faster down the stairs, like between our shoulder blades, it was just like a pressure. And my mom had apparently felt it too. So my mom just told everyone that they weren't allowed to be alone in the house anymore. And she moved some of her shifts around at work. She fixed the railing on the stairs because it was like all wobbly and she told us to always use it. And like they worked like in some practical ways, like once I felt like I was pushed down the stairs, but I caught myself on the railing and that happened to like my brother once or twice. And my mom twisted her ankle on carrying some laundry, but that could have just been due to, you know, how much laundry a teenage girl goes through. But we were just still supposed to ignore it and pray. And so that's what we were taught. And so we did that until we moved. But by the time we had moved the thing in the house, it was all worked up and we could all tell like things had gotten so frequent. And there was an anger to things. Like the knocking at night never stopped, but now it was louder and like angrier. And the mimicked voices, like we'd still hear the voices, but they were sort of shrill and like irritated. Like sometimes you would have a conversation, you would think somebody was mad at you, and then you'd realize you didn't have a conversation with that person. But, I mean, we all had headaches and stuff too, but I didn't use the bathroom at night after that. I stopped drinking anything after sundown. And that thing, it was just, it was still there. Like, but my dad had taken another job, and when we moved, he decided to sell the house to the incoming pastor's family. So we talked about it, about the house, like with my mom before we left, and my dad thought it was stupid that we shouldn't say anything. But my mom ended up feeling too guilty, so she told them. And the next family was sort of flippant, and she told them not to leave anyone in the house alone and that the house was inhabited. But the new minister and his wife left it off and they had some kids, but they said they would pray and things would be fine. And she was probably just stressed from moving. But 2 months later, we saw the family and their oldest son was in a big ass leg cast. He'd been home all alone and he'd come downstairs and there was this big old trapdoor style door to the basement and it was up. So he thought his dad or somebody had come home. So he called down from the top of the stairs and these stairs had no railings. He was home alone and he said someone pushed him down the stairs from the top of the stairs. And he couldn't catch himself and he broke his leg. And he's lucky he didn't hurt himself worse. But his dad just like rolled his eyes. The kid looked terrified. And I never saw that family again. We weren't in the area anymore and just been back to finish some business. But I went back to that house like a month or so ago. I hadn't been back to my hometown in 10 years. Me and my husband drove by so I could show him where I lived and we parked across the street. And I looked up on that gray house and I could just feel it looking back. My husband said something, looked out the window at us, but he'd heard the stories. I didn't see anything, but I didn't need to. I just remembered the feeling of that hand between my shoulder blades, and that pressure on the back, and like sitting there at night with that pacing. And I felt the thing in that house, and I knew it was still there. I knew it was.
If you want access to more Real Ghost Stories, become a premium subscriber to Real Ghost Stories Online. Sign up now through Apple Podcasts and try it for 3 days free. Not on Apple? Go to patreon.com/realghoststories or ghostpodcast.com.
I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app, with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel. I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel. 5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step 1, download Rocket Money. Step 2, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step 3, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step 4, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel. I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.